G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottlers proudly presents BBN Chalk Talk, a sports show with a distinct Kentucky flavor.
Welcome to BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottling on 590 WVOK and 97.3 FM, where Lexington comes to talk. My name is Max Gabby. With me always is Matt Smith and Greg Lyle. What a show we have for you. We have Christmas music, which David will be getting prompt and ready to go. It's a Christmas show.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
3 weeks. I guess we're going to have a Christmas special for 3 weeks now.
No, we're doing a new poll each week.
We're doing a new poll.
We're not just a Christmas music.
I've already got my next pick in my pocket ready to go.
Love it.
Awards, 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 awards. A bigger trophy case for the Joe Kraft Center is definitely in the future. We need to get the budget and the donations being brought in ASAP. We're going to talk the volleyball season. Track opened up, the Hoosier Open, and we'll get the results from that. Women's basketball, Rhode Island recap. Women's basketball as well, U of L. I always love rivalry week in all sports. It doesn't matter what it is. Even debate. If it's debate team, rivalry week. We're going to talk men's basketball. The great OT debate. Should have we taken a timeout? We'll see. Then we're going to talk our favorite holiday breakfast, which I am so excited about that. Yes. But Matt, Lyle, how we doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, we're doing all right. I mean, it's been from that loss yesterday with men's basketball, it's been a roller coaster of emotion for myself and understanding and sitting back and thinking and trying to figure out what's going on. And, you know, we're going to talk about that later, but it's
As wild as the last 5 minutes of that game was, the rest of the game was kind of boring up to that point.
Yeah, it was.
It was almost like an NBA game where just play the last 2 minutes and let's see what happens.
Right.
I felt bad after the game, but then I got to watch the Commander in Chief Bowl and watch Navy and Army play, and especially having my brother-in-law in the Army as a second lieutenant, and the game has a whole lot more meaning for me now when I watch now. Now I can actually say, go Army, beat Navy, and like actually have some gusto about it. Mm-hmm. But just watching those guys play and the sacrifices that they make for our country and what they've enlisted to do, it's the only event where everyone on the field is playing is willing to die for everyone watching. Yep. So it gave a little bit of perspective for me, but the Seton Hall game still sucked, and I hated it.
Yes.
And I'll go ahead and give you my vote. We should have taken the timeout. But let's talk about awards.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awards, awards, awards. Hashtag everything school. I'm glad I got it trending.
Did you?
I did. It was me.
Did you get it between just trending between us three?
Sure. Why not?
Okay. That's why. Yeah.
Yes. And in all
that reminds
avenues,
me, I've got to take that hashtag off mute now. Thanks for the heads up.
I mean, it hasn't been just Josh Allen. I mean, it's been every sport. And these were not minor awards and not just semifinalists. These were winners, finalists for them. And the job, and again, you need to direct all this, one, to the players, obviously, because, you know, they're the one that's competing on the field and doing it, but to Mitch Barnhart and the job that he has done with this program and the way that he's done it the right way and the investment that he's made into the non-revenue sports and revenue sports as well, kind of giving the balance of what you need for football, what you need for basketball, but what do you need to bring the other sports to that level. And so I don't think it can be said enough of how much Barnhart has run this athletics department. And it will go down. It'll be in some sort of sports management, sports administration textbook of the past 3 years of what UK has been.
Yeah, I mean, he's built the program. I mean, just like we talk about with Mark Stoops and with football, this is not something that just happened overnight. This is something he's been working on for 6 years. So where this athletic department is right now is not something that just happened overnight. It's something that Mitch Barnhart's been growing over years and years and years. And it started with getting the right coaches in place. You look at Coach Skinner over on the volleyball side, SEC Coach of the Year, Regional Coach of the Year, on into what's going on in the men's soccer program, all the awards that were won by the individual players now. So it's not just getting the right coaches in spot, then it's getting the right coaches that are going to get the right players in spot. When you look at the fall sports that we've had so far, out of volleyball, you had the SEC Player of the Year in Leah Edmond. You had Libero of the Year in Gabby Curry. You had freshman of the year and Allie Stumler. That's the second year in a row that we've had freshman player of the year. So we're talking about building a program there. Kentucky's had the libero of the year, which is basically the defensive player of the year for the last 4 or 5 years. Then when you cross over to football, what Stoops has built, what Josh Allen did this year by coming back, winning the national awards that he won, but also the SEC defensive player of the year, making the All-SEC team, All-American team, and you got Bunchy joining him on the Sports Illustrated team. You got Benny with him on the Athletic was Bunchy as well. And then Benny made second team Walter Camp. I mean, if you just
DeAndre
look at
Square.
DeAndre
yeah,
Square.
All-freshman team.
All-freshman team.
Yep.
When we talk about soccer placed a bunch of players on the regional team or on the all-conference team, on the regional team. And then you got J.J. Williams, who's up for basically the Heisman of soccer, the Herman Trophy. He's one of the three finalists for that. So these athletic programs, there's something special that's going on at the University of Kentucky. And like you said, it all starts with Mitch Barnhart and what he's in the program that he's built and the foundation that's there. And we haven't even gotten into the winter sports. I mean, you talk about gymnastics is always a national powerhouse. You talk about
track.
Women's basketball, track and field, what they're going through right now, men's basketball. Then you roll into the spring with baseball and softball.
Yeah. And the cool thing about all this is, and we've talked about it before, but I don't know that we've talked about on since we've been on the radio show here, just that at Kentucky and at most schools like this, you have football and basketball are your money-making sports, and the money that they make – covers and is able to pay for all the other sports that Kentucky has, whether it's soccer, whether it's volleyball, baseball, like all these other sports are able to cover because of the profit that they bring in. But when you get teams that are your non-money generating sports that are doing this well, they're going to start bringing in money. And when they're bringing in money for themselves and able to cover themselves, you're able to turn all this money that would have been used for them by football and basketball to be able to upgrade the facilities, to be able to do other things, to be able to provide more scholarships, things like that for a lot of these players. So not only are they doing well in their sports and getting a lot of recognition, but just for the program and for the school, this is doing wonders that a lot of people just don't see but we know about. It's awesome. It's awesome to see. Barnhart's done a phenomenal job.
100%. And it can't be said enough the type of players that they're bringing in. I mean, Special Olympics for Kentucky just tweeted out a video and pictures of the bowling event that they had with the Special Olympics athletes with 60 UK student athletes.
Right. That's awesome.
And you see so much negativity when it comes to college athletics and stuff that happens. And it's finally just refreshing to see where you see a story like Jalen Hurts in the SEC championship and the story of Jalen's adversity and his triumph in the SEC championship. And then you see stories like this of good student athletes. CJ Conrad, who is a phenomenal tight end, and he's going to be playing on Sundays and be making a lot of money, visits a UK Children's Hospital once a week. Kids hanging out with Special Olympics athletes. I mean, the culture at UK is excellent. I mean, 100% excellent. And if I were a parent and I'm looking for my kid to play somewhere, the first thing I'm thinking of is the teams at UK are phenomenal. They're great. They're fantastic. They win. You got a chance to make it to the next level in any sport. But secondly, it's a great environment to grow these boys and girls into great men and women that contribute to society. But anyway, so a breaking news for me, I still thought Citrus Bowl was sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings, and I was totes excited about that, like extremely. And then I see on here VRBO Citrus Bowl, and I have to lean over to Matt, and I go, what's VRBO? And he tells me it's a vacation rental. And he shows it to me, and I am so utterly disappointed. Like, why? Like,
they wrote the biggest check.
Yeah. What do you mean, why?
Well, I understand that, but Buffalo Wild Wings is going to let a vacation booking site beat them for a bowl game.
Did they get onto a different bowl? I didn't even look and pay attention to see if they got.
I don't think so. They were too busy tweeting during the Heisman.
Out of all people, you're really surprised by this as far as who has the biggest money is going to get the go-ahead.
No, not that. Not that. That Buffalo Wild Wings got outbid. That's the part that I'm just kind of.
So that should tell you how much money these vacation rental sites make.
Yeah, I've used them before. So
hey. I mean, all they do is they're the middleman between one person and another, and they're making enough money to sponsor a bowl.
I was so worried when we came up with this idea of a theme, like music themes for the In and Out, and not because I don't trust our viewers to pick the right group. I mean, I love the Christmas music aspect. It was that David was going to be picking all the Christmas music. Yeah. And nothing against you, David. It's just what you've shown me, voluntarily showed me, and let me listen to since the time we've known each other has been different.
He's afraid you were going to drop some Russian house Christmas music on him, and that's what he was afraid of.
The scary thing is,
we've got 45 minutes yet. Yeah,
it's still early. The scary thing is, that's 100% fact, because he did drop Russian house music on me before.
Yes, there's reason for your fears. It's valid.
Gosh, imagine Russian house music.
And part of the reason why I selected Christmas music.
Yes.
It's basically a wild card for David.
Yes, love it.
If we chose Johnny Cash, Def Leppard, it really would have compartmentalized him.
Yes.
But Christmas music, wide range.
I don't know. I would trust that he could dig up some like underground Johnny Cash, never been heard before sort of stuff. Like he can get that. He will find it.
Johnny Cash after a whole fifth of bourbon.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. So the VRBO Citrus Bowl, which will be January 1st at 2 p.m., isn't it? Or 1 p.m.
1 p.m.
1 p.m. against the Penn State Nittany Lions. Be 20 years to the day since these two teams met at the Outback Bowl
yep.
in 1999. And very interesting fact. It's not interesting. It's kind of really, really weird. That was one of Jerry Sandusky's last years at Penn State as well. So we don't have to deal with that anymore. That's just one more thing to add of why you should cheer for UK versus Penn State, just to bring that whole thing up again.
Send all comments to Max Godby at Oh My Godby 64.
Jeez. But yes, yeah,
we didn't clear that post and pre-production.
No, we did not. We are still far enough away from this game to where we want to see what's happening at practices and what's going to be going on. They just now are back together as a team. Coach Stoops talked about the recruiting trail, being out with Josh all over the country at his different award ceremonies. And he's just happy to be back with the guys, with the team, with the family to get practices going, get things started for the bowl preparation. So as we know from all of us have been in this sort of situation, that the first usually half of these practices is all about Kentucky. They're going to work on themselves. They're going to work on getting their stuff right. And then they're going to try to kind of treat it a little bit longer than a week, but they're going to treat it very closely. Obviously, once they get to the bowl site, they're going to be treating it all about Penn State and figuring out everything that they need to know about them. Because the other thing with that is there's a lot of guys injured probably on both sides that they need to know if they're going to be healthy or not for the bowl game, including Trace McSorley, who he should be playing, but he's going to be a very healthy version of himself and not the banged up version of himself that he was these last four games of the season. So that's kind of be prepared for that. There's not going to be a whole lot of Penn State talk until we get closer to that January 1 date. It's just going to be all about these guys getting back to their roots and getting back to what they know best, putting in some new stuff, some things that we haven't seen this season yet. So it's an exciting time.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, they had the first press conferences, I thought, way, way too early last Sunday. Like, so 6 o'clock, they had Mitch Barnhart up on stage. And then right before that, we had a phone conference between Franklin and Stoops. And yep. It's like, what can you say other than oh, yeah, we really respect them. They're a great program. Right. Mm-hmm. They've worked hard to get to this point.
Yep, we're happy to be here.
Franklin was in an airport. He goes, yeah, I saw an email. We've got the film package in.
But yeah, that's right.
And Stoops was like, you know, I just got off the plane.
Yeah, they're all out recruiting right now. Like, what are they going to say?
And then you had Stoops, who was off the plane at home, back on a plane to go to, you know, all the different awards that Josh Allen, he was there with all the rest of the defensive staff. So it's almost like a spring ball, you know, when you first start up the first few days. It's all about you getting your legs back under you. You know, these guys have been resting and recovering and getting their legs back under them. The good thing that is, I did like that came out of Mark Stoops' press conference the other day was that everybody right now is told them they're going to play.
Right.
Yes, that is good.
Everybody so far is in now. You don't know. I thought the number that he said in the press conference that there are, he projects 11 draft picks from UK this year. I did the math. I see about 8.
Yeah.
But 11, that's a huge, huge number. And you never know. It all depends on what those teams need and how things line up.
Yep.
But so we are going to be going to the Citrus Bowl. So we have a special advertising package that we're going to be putting out. If you or somebody you know has a business that wants to be a part of the Citrus Bowl, it's a unique opportunity to help sponsor our – if you've followed anything we do, the things that we've done with G&J Pepsi-Cola Ballers, we want to do the same thing but with your company, but specifically – it's a big word for me to use this early on a Sunday with not even my first cup of coffee down – with the VRBO Citrus Bowl. So everything we do, all the stuff that goes on the week before, the practices and all the different events that the players and coaches go to, we'll be there. We'll be doing videos. We'll be doing articles. We'll be doing reports the whole week with the team, as well as covering the game and post-game and everything else like that. So if you have any interest in that, hit us up at info@bbnchalktalk.com. We'll get you the information on that. We want to get this wrapped up quickly, and I think it'll go quickly, too, once you hear the price for it and all the advertising that you get and to get your name out there in probably the biggest game in UK football history in the last 20 years.
Good deal.
Excellent. It's going to
be
deal.
Exciting.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait. I can't wait. It's still a long way away, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, Tony Neely put that text out the other day. He's like, hey, we're pre-scouting for the bowl. It's like 80 degrees and sunny, not a cloud in the sky.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm on way.
Okay.
I need to check things out, too.
Yes, please. I mean, there's stuff that we got to check out. I mean, we need to check the local restaurants, you know. While you're down there, you might as well check out Disney World. I feel like that's a necessity to really bring in the environment of where you're playing. You've got to check out the local dives and
The local craft adult beverages. You figure out where those are.
Yeah,
you've got some Orlando tips, don't you?
I do.
He
does. I went down there like 3 times at the beginning of the year. Oh, with you. I got places for you ready to go.
He said that and like this red light went off in my head. Oh, wait.
I got a place for the best mozzarella sticks you'll ever have in your life.
Oh.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Let's dig into some other sports. So volleyball, unfortunately, came to an end. And
yes, unfortunately.
But what a fantastic year they've had, and one that really shows. And I'm so happy for Coach Skinner for the season that he had and the way he's done it the right way.
Oh, he has. And the girls played phenomenal all year. And, you know, it's a historic season, and it just ran into a number 6 ranked Nebraska team that we just really couldn't get anything. I don't even necessarily want to say Nebraska was better than us that day. I want to say that we just didn't play up to the level that Kentucky plays up to. We had way too many errors. We couldn't get our serve going. We had way too many passing. I mean, just errors across the board on all phases of the game just were too many for us to try to battle back. We didn't hit the ball very, very well. It wasn't until that last set and when we really battled them. But none of that should diminish what these girls have done and what this coaching staff has done, program has done this year. Last year we talked about what a great run that they had getting to the Elite Eight, and could they get any better? And they did. I mean, they didn't get to the Elite Eight, but I think they're a better program this year than they were last year. And when you look at the recruiting that Coach Skinner's done and brought in, it's just phenomenal. We graduate 4 girls, but we're loaded coming back. And I think it's a great thing with Coach Skinner and the program that he's built. So it's going to be a fun offseason covering them. That they do a spring volleyball, just like a spring football. So we'll have some coverage coming down the line. And I'm sure there'll be some more awards coming out as the Final Four is next weekend that I'm sure some of our girls will get a mention for, whether it be like Madison or Gabby or Leah. Mm-hmm. And Brooke Morgan, she was phenomenal this year, earning all SEC and all region honors. So good year by them, and we look forward to them recovering and getting back on the court in spring and getting ready for next year.
Make sure to be a part of the conversation. Text line for WVLK, 859-253-5959. Looking as well at women's basketball. I mean, again, another good team, hashtag everything's cool. I got it trending. And played against Rhode Island.
The Rhodies.
Is that – that's not what they're called.
That's what they're called. That's the only thing I could find on them was the Rhodies.
The Rhodies.
I looked through their press packet and everything else. That's the only thing I could find.
Like people that set up like concerts?
I have no idea. I have no idea. And not, I don't know, I should make that comment. They were, there was a lot more tattoos than I thought from girls coming out of Rhode Island.
Can just go. Just continue.
Continue with what?
Tell us what happened. Just stop.
I love throwing Max off, Pete. Yes, the girls, they took on Rhode Island. Last week, they won 75-52. Another phenomenal game that these girls played. They're really on a roll right now, being led by the freshman sensation, Ryan Howard, who almost had another double-double. But she is leading us right now with 18.2 points per game average. She's leading us with a total of, on the rebounding side, total of 62 this year. Not to be outdone, Macy Morris has been on fire. She's been shooting really, really well the last couple of games, almost hitting 30 points again. And then you got Taylor Murray, who the other senior guard, just quietly sitting back, shooting almost 55% for the year, and really handling herself well on the defense side of the ball, which she really wanted to work on. The girls have a big test today here at 2 o'clock in the Yum Center back in Louisville. They will be taking on U of L and Asia Durr, their big all-SEC, all-ACC player of the week last week, and she's averaging almost 22 points a game. So this is going to be a big test for this defense, this pressure defense, see how they can respond. I like that they had some time off after that Virgin Islands trip because they played a lot of games and a lot of time.
Yep.
They were off all last week, played last Thursday, and they've had a few days off to get ready and turn right back around. It's their real first kind of road trip into a hostile environment, so it's going to see how these girls respond to.
Yeah, and it's this Louisville team is pretty solid. I mean, obviously they're ranked number 5 in the country, number 4 in some polls, but their scoring offense ranks 8th in the country with 87 points a game. And then you look at Kentucky's defense and almost averaging 27 turnovers a game, which leads the country. So something's going to give here, and they're going to need every bit of that pressure to stop this Louisville offense. Need big games from Ryan Howard, Macy Morris, and Taylor Murray, as well as others to step up in this because it's a good squad.
We are about ready to talk gymnastics preview, but then talk about track as well. We've got the results of their Hoosier Open, and my goodness, it's going to be everything school into the winter sports as well.
Big indoor season going on right now.
Exactly.
But with gymnastics, so they're getting kicked off right now. It will be today will be the blue-white, I guess their version of a scrimmage in our squad. Over Memorial at 3 o'clock. It is free admission, so anybody wants to come out, come on out. I will be there to take a look at them and kind of give you guys a preview of what to expect from gymnastics this year.
Yeah.
Good deal.
I wasn't ready for it to end that quickly.
Yeah, that was very abrupt.
No, over on the track and field side, you know, they started with the Hoosier Open up there in Indiana, and this is – if you'll remember, this is the first year for Coach Lonnie Green, who just joined the squad here, and just a strong win coming out of this tournament here. And Kentucky had won 9 different individual events and had a handful, I haven't even counted yet, of top three finishes on top of that. So
yeah.
There's a ton of them. I'm not even going to go through because this is going to take forever, plus some of these names are crazy, and I'm not even going to be able to say some of them. But we won a lot of individual events. We even won the UK Women's 4x400 relay in there as well. And then there's, again, a handful of top three finishes. And if you want to check any of those out, definitely go to ukathletics.com and look at those. But they will officially open up 2019 at the Jim Green Invitational here at Nutter Field House at Kentucky. And that's going to be January 11th and 12th. So check them out and continue to follow them because they should have a strong year this year already. Coming off a lot of these individuals, especially some of our seniors that are picking up right where they left off last season. So it's awesome to see already.
One thing I want to point out is Noah Castle for a shot put.
Yep.
Threw a 63 feet, 11.75 inches, basically 64 feet, meet record. And then tied for number 3 on UK indoor list as well. And then –
you know, I thought the Canadian side of you would have went with the metric, the 19.5 meters.
Thought about it. I resisted the temptation.
It's I love it.
And we had a field house record as well with the women's triple jump. And then
who set that one?
Maria Jose Ebue Bile Excel.
Nailed it. That's the one I didn't want to say because there's like 5 names. And that's.
And then Matt Perry on pole vault tied an indoor personal best at 17 feet.
So are you just going to go over against everything I just said? I just said, go check it out on UK Athletics. I'm not going to go through all the names, but here's what you're
going to do. Well, no, I like talking about records, though.
All right. Well, that's fine.
I like records. Okay. He goes, they did okay. There were some really outstanding.
I did not say they did okay.
If you have any questions for us, make sure to text us at the 590 WVLK text line, 859-253-5959.
All right, let's talk about this dumpster fire of a game yesterday. That was, my goodness.
Yeah. this was an interesting game because coming in, we knew Seton Hall was strong because, you know, they had played they've only had a couple losses here. They played Louisville very strong, and we know Louisville's going to be a decent team this year, even though they just lost to Indiana as well yesterday. I think someone said that this is the first time in history that UK and U of L have both lost by 1 point on the same day. Again, that's one of those crazy stats. I don't know where you pull that from, but whether it's true or not, you could say it, and I don't know if anybody's going to figure out if that's true or not. So, but no, I mean, when you're looking at this offensively, the first half, P.J. Washington came out strong for us, scored 7 of our first 9 points. But the thing that kills me the most is these droughts that happen. You know, our defensive side, it's great because the same time that we were going through a drought, Seton Hall was going through a drought. But when you look at this, there was a point, 10 minutes worth of game time, that Kentucky went without a field goal in the first half. Luckily, Reed Travis was the one that made that and-one play to end that streak there. But when he ended it for Kentucky, he ended a total. There was 23 overall missed shots between Seton Hall and Kentucky in that time period, which is crazy.
I didn't think anybody wanted to score.
No,
it wasn't just like they were putting up shots that were rimming out or, you know, coming off the rim wrong. It was like throwing stuff up and hoping it got close to the rim. It was ugly.
It was ugly, and so we got lucky, number one, that while we were on that streak, our defense was holding Seton Hall to a very similar streak to keep it the same. But you just cannot, if you're going to win games day in and day out, you cannot have streaks like that on the offensive side to where you're just not scoring, especially with the weapons that we have. So shot 31% in the first half, not great. Second half got picked up a little bit. When we look at that, you know, unfortunately on the defensive side, Seton Hall opened up with an 11-0 run to kind of go up a pretty decent lead on us. But chipped away at that, came back. They went on an 11-3 run to end the game over the last, like, 3 minutes and were able to hit that three-pointer to put them up, you know, near the end of the game there when, thank God, Keldon Johnson hit that half-court shot. I guess that's why they practice it every time.
And that's the only three-point shot we had in the second half that we made.
That's insane. I didn't even know that.
Yep.
That's insane.
And then Calipari had this quote after the game. It says, got a ways to go. Every year I go through this. This is painful and aging. Trying to figure out your team, trying to win games while you're trying to figure them out, how you finish games and trying to get them to mature quickly. It's just hard. And it just brings up this whole debate of, one, the timeout at the end of overtime.
Overtime, right.
And trying to figure out.
There wasn't a timeout.
The lack of
timeout.
The
lack of timeout. And if anyone wants any extra timeouts, I know UK has one. So just come by WVOK and we can drop
maybe
that off.
Maybe it's in his contract.
You.
He gets like a bonus for every timeout he does not use.
Ooh, now there we go. There's incentive, my
conspiracy
friend.
Conspiracy theory.
But so, Matt, I think you're the one that posted the poll.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I've been back and forth on this. Immediately after the game, I thought they should have absolutely taken a timeout. And most of the fans that have voted on this poll we put up have agreed. 72% of them said that there should be a timeout. Should have been a timeout that last 9 seconds. I saw Todd Lanter put out, you know, a tweet kind of defending it, saying Coach Cal has always been and always will be a coach that I trust my team, let my guys play. I trust them to do what they need to do. And he puts out, had Higgins come up the court and gotten a dump off to PJ and PJ goes in and gets the bucket or gets fouled. Yeah. The fans are praising him for not calling a timeout. It's one of those, whatever happens, the fans are not going to be happy with it, or if it's vice versa, they would have been. So for me, I think if he's truly in a point where his mindset was, I want to see what these guys can do, I'm going to give them my trust and let them play and see what happens, this is the time to do it. Early in the season, now he knows going forward, we better work on this kind of situation, or if it's coming up here, then in a game, I'm probably going to call a timeout just to make sure we figure things out because it was a little chaotic. So I don't know. I think with him, I would have liked to see a timeout, but I completely understand the other way of not calling one.
Now, my coaching experience in basketball does not go past third, fourth grade, CSAA. Let's go, Lords Bearcats. But from a coaching standpoint, yes, I get it's early in the season. Let them play and see what happens. But you're also, right now, you have not won on the road yet. Mm-hmm. You got embarrassed on the road at Duke. You need to make a little statement here from a coaching standpoint. You've got 9 seconds. You call a timeout and get a play set. Or as soon as you see that gets bottled up at the top of the key, with about 6 seconds, you call a quick timeout to get something set up.
Yep.
Because you could tell very, very early, as soon as that ball crossed midcourt, there was a problem.
He didn't know where to go.
There was a problem.
And he handed it off to Keldon, and that's when the timeout. There was like 3 seconds left when Keldon got the ball, like call a quick timeout.
And Keldon was like surprised to get it. He was like, what do you want me to do? Because, I mean, he couldn't even get up a halfway. It did. Yep. It airballed, didn't it?
Yeah,
I don't think it came close to the rim. Hey, we got a text from Gordo on the text line, the 590 WVLK text line, 859-253-5959. His question is, did yesterday feel like March Madness to you, the last 2 minutes of the game and overtime?
A lot of excitement at the end of the game, the way that that happened. And Gus Johnson calling games is my favorite thing, whether it's basketball or football. So, like, when he gets excited, I get excited regardless of what's going on just because he's awesome. I love listening
to him. Well, you know, Powell hit that shot that they thought won the game for them, and then he made that immediately the play of the game.
Yeah.
And then when Keldon hit that, and I was like, so do you change that now?
Because
you're going to overtime?
Yeah.
There's 5 minutes of basketball left to be played.
Yep.
You know, something else could happen. But
For
me, it did a little bit there at the end, but it's just because the excitement of basketball. And
right.
Yeah. It was a great environment, no doubt about that. At first, I was like, you definitely got to take the time out. I'm starting to maybe understand why you don't, especially with a Seton Hall team that's a veteran Seton Hall team. It's a well-coached team. At that point, if you don't call the timeout and you're just going based off the athletes on the court, if you go ahead, make a quick turn, make the defense react, you've got a shot.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue is, I think, with this team is, not one, they haven't meshed well together, but then two, they didn't know how to set it up on their own. So that's why, for me, you set that timeout up, and then you're able to use your athletic ability and your basketball skills to be able to get you to the point to win that game.
Did you just contradict yourself? Did you just flip yourself and argue against yourself?
No, I just said I could see both sides. I still believe that he should have called the timeout, and I think I share a similar frustrations with a lot of fans of it seems like every single loss since the Wisconsin loss in the Final Four with the perfect team, there's always been that frustrating kind of head-scratching decision where it's like you've got arguably the best coach, if not the most renowned coach, in college basketball. You get the best talent every single year.
Yep.
And Calipari was brought in for one thing, and it was to turn UK basketball into a dynasty. And you can make the argument, a national championship, what's it been, five Final Fours, five, six Final Fours, something like that?
Yeah, I'd have to look.
It's been a decent amount. But the past 3 years, it's kind of everything's kind of been squandered, kind of just the wheels fall off towards the end.
Right. So let's wrap up men's basketball. Players of the game.
For me, it's PJ on both offense and defensive side.
I agree.
Mean, he started off strong. He ended the game strong. And on the defensive side, he had 8 defensive rebounds, 5 on the offensive side, and then he had 4 blocks on the defensive side. The offensive side, 29 points, 4 assists, and he was huge for us. I mean, at one point, it was Powell versus PJ Washington, just going back and forth to scoring near the end of the game. So he won both sides for me.
I mean, bench player, you know, we talked about it was hard to see because
we didn't get a lot of production
out of them. We were actually outscored off our bench. Seton Hall had 16 points to our 13 off the bench. So it was hard for us, but it was good to see Baker on the court.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is even though he was on for a minute, Jamal Baker was back from that injury that's just kind of been lingering, and Coach Cal has never really been saying anything because he's just letting it work its course, and when he's back, he's back. When the trainers say he's okay, he's okay. So we saw him back, so we'll start seeing hopefully some more minutes out of him.
Hey, we have another text in. A text from Jeff from Louisville.
Jeff from Louisville.
Long-time listener, first-time texter.
Hooah!
What about the Heisman Award? I think Tua should have won. What are your thoughts?
In my opinion, I think Tua was punished because he played for the Monstars. I think that's what it was. He was punished because he played for a really, 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 really good team. And he didn't play in the fourth quarter except for one game.
I like that Kyler won it because, yes, Tua is an awesome player, but he has so many other weapons around him that made him look good as well. Those receivers are unbelievably fast for Alabama, and they've got the running core, the running backs behind him as well. And for Oklahoma, if Kyler Murray has a bad game, Oklahoma doesn't win. He has to show up every game, and he's literally their one man that does everything for him.
But is he, though?
I mean,
Oklahoma's players are on scholarship also. They're four or five stars as well.
They're not as good as Alabama's scholarship players.
So is a Alabama player never allowed to win the Heisman because his teammates are good?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying Kyler Murray did more for his team. He meant more to his team and the success that they've had than Tua did.
But to me, that shouldn't be a factor into the Heisman. It's how you performed, not if your team's trash.
Did Kyler Murray perform bad?
No, It's not even that. If we were going with that same logic, then Lamar Jackson should have won the Heisman again, should have won 2 years in a row.
No, but Louisville wasn't good. This last
but
year.
He was the entire team at that point.
Right, but your team
you
also
still,
has to be good.
Your team
you
still
to
has to be good.
So it's a fine line. They can't be too good, but they could be. But they can't suck. They have to be kind of good.
Well, you have to have a winning record.
That's the official voting and how it goes.
I don't know. I was fine with Kyler Murray winning.
Yes.
But the whole idea of Tua not winning because he plays for Alabama is a loser mentality, in my opinion.
Well,
the thing I don't like is that Josh Allen wasn't even in the top 10.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
This is becoming way too much of an offensive quarterback running back.
Well, now they're talking about when is a running back even going to win again because of how many quarterbacks have won recently.
Well, God help if they're part of a really good team. Yep. They're not going to win.
Yeah. I don't know. We can talk about it more this week, though.
So, food.
Holiday breakfast.
Food.
So, we all have, a special breakfast on Christmas morning, right? I think all of our families do that. Something special.
Dave's eating carrots over there.
David.
That's not what I
have
for
the
Christmas
reindeer.
Morning.
That's not people food, David.
That's what you put on the snowman.
Yeah.
So when I was a kid, it was always because my dad always cooks breakfast on the grill. He's got a little
grill.
He puts a cast iron on the grill, a flat top.
Oh,
and
okay, all right,
David Chet, I get it. Anyway, it's a great childhood memory. We spend Christmas morning with Ashley's parents, and her mother makes a monkey bread. That is, it's really good.
Cinnamon butter.
But I eat enough of that, and I have a little bit of a protein, but by the time 11 o'clock comes, I start shaking like no other, where it's just a complete sugar rush at that point.
Okay, holiday food, we don't track carbs and proteins and all that stuff. Don't sit here and skinny up.
Oh, no.
Skinny up our fat talk right now with this. Well, I have a little bit of a protein on the side as well.
I'm losing weight just listening to you.
Good.
You have me in this nice, buttery, cinnamon, gooey madness, and you go, but you got to have a little protein, too.
Because I'm going to start shaking like no other. I'm going to have a sugar crash, and I'm going to turn pale and pass out.
You know, when you start having that sugar crash, you know what you do? Get more sugar.
Yeah. It keeps you going all day.
Get more sugar.
Just go.
For me, there's a couple things. I'm a huge fan of, around the holiday time, just like a breakfast casserole of some sort. And I love chorizo in my breakfast casserole.
Yeah.
Is my favorite thing. And the other thing that is just a very simple thing, but I really don't eat that often until it's holidays, is French toast. My mother-in-law makes a killer French toast, and I love having French toast in the holidays. It's just for me, it's very easy to do any time of the year, but for me, I never really do it until she makes it for us in the holidays. So.
Yeah, it's for me, it's always that breakfast casserole that's got a biscuit layer underneath it, and then the eggs and the sausage and the cheese and everything. You put some salsa and hot sauce on top of that. A little jalapeno.
Now I'm gaining weight again. This is good. This is good. I'm gaining weight again. Here we go.
I should have had lunch before I came in the show today.
Love it.
Getting ready to get Max hangry over here.
I am getting a little hangry right now.
So, yeah, those are ours.
Yeah.
But doubleheader next week before we wrap up the show. Just remind everybody, Matt and I will be at basketball. Basketball plays Utah. Men's basketball plays Utah at 5 o'clock in Rupp Arena. And before that, we'll be at the women's Middle Tennessee State game over at Memorial. And, I mean, it's just that time of year right now. That's the only two games we got going on just because of finals and out of school. And But stay, listen for us because we will have a lot of basketball talk leading up into that. And then as things start to increase going on with the bowl preparations. And don't forget, if you're interested in sponsoring our bowl preparations, you can hit us up on email at info@bbandchalktalk.com. Watch for us this week. A copy of this show will be up tomorrow on our iTunes and Blog Talk Radio. And then we've got fresh shows coming out on Wednesday and Friday of this week. And as always, every single morning, we have a UK sports update where we'll keep you updated what's going on around UK athletics. You can find that on all of our media sites. Yeah. We put that up everywhere.
I just got fact-checked by my mother and said, your dad never cooked Christmas breakfast. I must have Urban Meyer memory issues right now. I remember now my mother made pancakes, waffles, then she made sausage muffins as well. I just had
that's that skinny gene that's corroded your mind, that you forgot all of that tasty goodness that Mama could
I'm sorry, Mom.
With
I
love believe. Made for you, and you completely threw it out the window and couldn't even figure out what to put on the grill when you were trying to say that about
Never defy Mama Godby. That's rule number
Between
one.
Between the skinny genetic and then CTE, I'm really screwed right now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Text me and let me know what you get at Christmas breakfast with Mama.
You're going to be real mad when you don't get a breakfast.
Maxie, go see what your dad's got on the grill for you.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Nothing.
I love
That's right. Nothing. Oh, and then she just responded back, oh, cinnamon rolls also. I was like, oh, gosh, Mom, okay. I'm taking back all your gifts. Daggone.
I love Mama Gabi.
Yes, her cinnamon rolls as well. Wait, but in my defense, the cinnamon rolls weren't until later. That was like a college thing.
Yeah. She can keep his gift.
Yeah, Greg and I will show up, and we can take Max's gifts and his food on Christmas morning. We'll be there.
Oh, gosh.
How do you ever turn anything down like that?
Yeah.
What is wrong?
I'm not turning it down. I just forgot.
How do you forget that?
Matt forgot that he texted something about Coach Cal yesterday.
It has nothing to do with food.
Yeah, it does.
No, don't turn this on me. Do not turn this on me. This is about you.
No, if you're pulling me down, I'm pulling you down with me.
Nope.
I'll take you right down with me.
Nope.
Doesn't
work
like that.
I want to see the look on Max's face when he walks into the house on Christmas morning and Smitty and I are already sitting there eating. Hey, Max. Yeah. Go check the grill.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, there's nothing on it.
And there's nothing left in here either. We'll tell you all about it. We can share.
Yeah. We could do a live tweet of it, and you could talk about how mad it made you. Talk about your feelings. Write it in your diary.
Write it in your diary. Blog it.
Blog it.
Write articles for the website.
Gosh. What is up with everyone ragging on me now? Ashley literally just sent a text saying, whatever song you just yelled at David about, I really like it. I can't stand my family. Merry Christmas from BB and Chalk Talk. Listen to us during the week. For Matt Smith, Greg Lyle, David, my name is Max Gabby. You've been listening to BB and Chalk Talk presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling on 590 WVOK and 97.3 FM, where Lexington comes to talk.